Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Prepare for Change Radio. I'm here today with Raisa of the Renaissance Group, and I'm Lynn of the Healing Group of prepareforchange.net. And we have a very wonderful guest with us today, and Raisa is going to introduce her.
Dear ones, congratulations. You've just tuned in to a wonderful magical show. This episode is going to stun you. I'm here to introduce my dear friend, and she is the teacher of teachers and the healer of healers. She is the awakener, activator, and accelerator. All in one person, Dorothy is one powerful energy of light. Hang on, and you will hear Dorothy's enlightening messages. Welcome, Dorothy. It's so nice to have you here.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you.
So, Dorothy, you've been with us today at Prepare for Change Los Angeles, and you gave a delightful presentation. I could relate to so much of what you said, and I would like you to share your story with our worldwide Prepare for Change group.
Well, thank you. It was great. What a beautiful, beautiful group of people. And it's so awesome to be in the presence of like-minded people, people who are looking for ways to make this world a better place and to prepare one another and the world for the changes that are happening all around us. So it's truly my pleasure to be here. I'm grateful to Raisa for inviting me.
It's my pleasure.
So mine is an interesting story. Upon my birth, the first things that were said to my mother and father was that I would never be normal. And even though I was scholastically tested and rated as a genius as a child, my intelligence wasn't really appreciated in this little town that I was in. I could see things and hear things and feel things that other people couldn't and didn't. And I used to share as a child my invisible friends. And I was really shut down at a very young age because mom and dad didn't want people talking about me. So it took a while to overcome that. It's so interesting to see the new generation coming in and these people, these beautiful beings being born today will see and talk about what they can see and hear as if it's very normal. And it's good to see other parents encourage this. So I'm very happy to see that. That wasn't my story. However, as I sat downstairs when we were talking earlier, is that not being normal has turned out to be a really good thing for me. Because if what I see as normal, the people that are walking around in a comatose state, I'm very, very blessed to not be normal. Although I had many, many years of my life where I went back to sleep after being very awake as a child. But it's good to be awake right now. So as an activator, an accelerator, an awakener, I have these beautiful gifts. All of us are gifted. And we're all gifted in different ways. Some people can sing. Some people can dance. Some people can speak many languages. And my particular gifts are that I actually activate people's hidden gifts and awaken them from their comatose state and accelerate them on their spiritual path. So I'm very, very blessed to have this as my job. I love my job.
So, Dorothy, are we here to unwrap our gifts?
Yes.
And you are the helper in that?
Yes, we're all gifted. And it was so great to see the people at your beautiful meeting. I was talking to one gentleman, and He's a natural born healer, and he has done some amazing healings. And I trust that he will come and see me so I can show him an easier way to do it, because he's been doing it the hard way for a long, long time. Life is very, very simple. And we spend most of our lives until we awaken in believing that it's really difficult and hard, but it's easy. There are two choices, love versus fear. And when we choose love, everything falls magically into place. So, I love my job. And I was born into the perfect family. Everyone wanted to be us. It was not really the perfect family. My mom and dad didn't like each other. I had an interesting childhood, which included incest, rape, and molestation. And this was extremely interesting because I was able to push it down for so long. And in the news right now is the Bill Cosby story, and with everybody saying, why didn't people come forward? These types of instances are just pushed away, because when you do try to come forward and say this happened, you're called a liar, which we're seeing in the news media every day right now. And so I truly have an understanding for these women. What I did was create sub-personalities, some very interesting ones, to experience what I could not personally meet Dorothy Lee Donahue experience. And I didn't realize that until many, many years later, when I picked up a book called I Am Eve, which was the story of the three faces of Eve. And instead of three faces, she had like 52 sub-personalities, and it was very interesting. And I didn't read the whole book, but I opened it up. This is how I read books these days. I opened it up, and that was the perfect chapter for me. And what she had done was begin to create other little girls to take in the horror that was her life. And I realized that that's what I had done. And I'm so glad that I ran across the book, because then I was able to take all of my training from NLP and hypnosis and integrate all of these sub-personalities and become who I am today.
And when these events happen in our lives, there is a shame and guilt that we associate with, mm-hmm. And we think it's our fault that it happens. And yet, you said earlier today that your worst enemy is your best teacher.
Right, absolutely.
Your master teacher is exactly the way you said it.
Right, right. And what happens is, the way life works is very simple. What happens is, we're at the light. There is no heaven, there is no hell, there's only the light. And we all come from the light and return to the light after each of our exciting adventures. This lifetime, I've had 10 near-death experiences.
Oh, my God.
And so this is how I know how things work. Now, I'm a slow learner or rememberer because I didn't get it the first 8 times. The 9th time after I came back was when I really began healing myself in earnest. And the 10th time, I remember I got to the light and I said, send me back. I've got work to do. And the Christ, this beautiful being, said, it's about time you caught on.
So she's catching on.
I caught on. It's so interesting, as far as master teachers, those people who are most difficult in our lives, the really difficult ones, are our master teachers. And we can learn to relate and understand and have compassion, or we can go into reaction. So one of my greatest master teachers this lifetime was my mother. And I had not remembered a lot of the sexual stuff. I hadn't remembered any at all. I was 41 years old, And I'd taken a day off from work to drive my mother to a, like a Conscious Life Expo. And it was a beautiful day, and the sun is shining, and the birds are singing. And I'm driving up the freeway, and my mother turns to me and said, "Did your father ever have sex with you?" And I went, "Good God, Mother, no. Why are you asking me that?" And she said, "Because I always thought he did." I was so upset, you can imagine. It wasn't a memory. I just said, "No, you're wrong." It wasn't until later that I remembered what had happened as a child. And I was seriously wanting to pull over, have her get out of the car, and let me run over her a couple of times, because I just couldn't imagine how she... I was really upset. And so this divine being popped in, and he said, "Wouldn't you like to know how she got to be that way?" And I said, "Who cares?" I said, "I don't care. Did you hear what she said?" And I was just so into reaction and so into anger. And he said, "I want you to ask her her first childhood memory." And I'm still resisting and going, "I don't care what her first childhood memory was. You know, leave me alone. Help me figure out how to punish her." And he said, "No, ask her her first childhood memory." So I said through gritted teeth, "Mother, what was your first childhood memory?" And my mother got very small. And she said she was about 2, 2 and a half years old. And she had come in from being out in the backyard looking for her pet, Fluffy, which was a chicken she had raised from an Easter chick. And she asked my grandmother, "Where is Fluffy?" My grandmother said, "We just had her for lunch. You ate her heart." And so I was overwhelmed with compassion for her. Completely had forgotten her question and didn't look at it for a long, long time after that. I was just overwhelmed with compassion. And so the reason I'm sharing this story is we don't know anybody's story. We don't know anybody's story. We don't know what turns them in to the people who are sitting in front of us. And so, compassion, what a great gift that was. And it freed me. And I was able to have a wonderful day with my mother. Now, I was still at that time pushing stuff down and blocking things out. But yeah. What a great gift to me that was.
You mentioned, Dorothy, at the lecture today that we retain cellular and soul memory.
Right.
While in the womb. And then you told the story how you asked your mother, you asked, "Good God, Mother, you were trying to abort me." And she says, "How do you know? I did not tell anyone." And you said?
"I was there." But the way it came across was that my dad had just left her. I was 39 years old, and my dad had just walked out on her. And she was pulling her hair out and throwing him. She was in this really agitated state. And she called me to come over and help her. And she said, "We have to save your father. He's lost his mind." And up until this time, I had had a really hard reactionship with my mother. And I was sitting, this was during my drinking days, and I was sitting there drinking a big shot of Jack Daniels, and all of a sudden I was shown this attempt to abort me. And I said, "Good God, Mother, I've hated you all these years because you tried to abort me." And she said, "I never did. And I never told anyone I tried. How could you know?" So she denied it and admitted it at the same time. And that's when I said I was there. And I described to her exactly what she had done. And I realized, and I told her, I said, "It wasn't me. You didn't know wonderful me. It was the situation you were in. Dad had gone back to the war, and you didn't think he was going to return. And you were just begging God to take me. She was sitting in the middle of the Pacific Ocean where it was just freezing, absolutely shaking. And that's the first time I died and went to the light. And I was so excited to be at the light, as I said, wow, I'm so glad I'm not going to be born, because those people down there, they're messed up. They kill one another. Mom and Dad don't like each other. Horrible things are happening down there. There's a war on. And my friends at the light said, Dorothy, you have this contract. And you have a job to do, so you're going back. It took me 39 years to remember that. But when I did remember it, I saw it all. And I know that we have that kind of memory because it popped up.
Is there a way that people can start remembering those things? Is there a technique? Or
that's what hypnosis is all about in NLP. It's really great if people need to remember those things. I used to do past life regression as an NLP master and as master hypnotist, but I quit doing that because I realized part of my job is to get people to be here now and to become the best that we can be right now. And so a lot of times people get caught up in their past lives and they don't focus on now. Now is the most important time ever. And I quit doing it. I quit doing that. But there are a lot of people out there that will do that for you, if you feel like you need to remember.
The times are such some people will choose to see the glass half empty and some will choose to see it half full. I love your inspiring words this morning about how you actually asked us, do you think the world is perfect? And just maybe a couple of people said yes, and the rest didn't think so. Could you expand on that?
Well, what perfection? Do you think? Is it perfect?
Yes, I think it is.
It is. It absolutely is perfect. And this all comes to one of the biggest lessons I learned this lifetime is loving what is. And right now, things are shifting and changing, but it's perfect. So many people are responding to what's going on in the world. And we have a great example, and I think it was a little over-exaggerated, some of the responses, but Cecil the Lion. And this touched so many people's hearts. And Cecil, if he had a message for anyone, it's like, wow, people are waking up because of me. So I lived a good life. And let's stop the slaughter of innocent animals. Let's stop this trophy hunting thing. But the fact that so many people responded in a heartfelt manner is showing the change that's on the planet, because trophy hunting has been going on for a long, long, long time, and people have been immune to it. Now, in 93, I was told by my friends to get onto the internet, that it was the great equalizer, and that all of the information would be available to me, and to be very careful about what I believed and what I subscribed to. And I love the fact that we have social media where people can speak their truth and say, this is wrong, and we must stop this. So much good is happening all over the world. And when we focus on the good, we create more of it. And that's what we must do. So when someone says, oh, the world is horrible and it's, you know, just getting worse every day, that's not true. My world gets better every day. And the more of us who focus on the world getting better every day, the sooner we're going to co-create the world that we have come here to co-create.
I heard a response from a gentleman on a social network when there was a murder of Cecil, that it's interesting how the world came together, he mm-hmm. says, with this event, while there are 10,000+ women and children and elderly are being killed, murdered in southeastern Ukraine, in Gaza, in other places. He says, how does this work? How come people are shut off to that? By the way, those parts of the world are also supported by the military-industrial complex of the United States.
So that's a very easy question to answer. We are being shown on TV and in the movies, it's kill, kill, kill again. Your biggest blockbusters are all about war. And so people have become immune to it. And they don't understand what is happening. And they see this and it becomes the norm. It's a part of a program. And it just numbs people to truth. And so when someone experiences the loss of a loved one in one of the many areas, it's not just the industrial military complex of the United States, it's all over the world. It's war. Let's have a war here. Let's have a war there. I know that we have just become immune because the big blockbusters are all about blowing things up. You know, if you turn on the TV, it's just kill, kill, and kill some more. And look at what our kids are looking at. Their video games are kill, 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 more and more. And so the news, I don't watch the news anymore. I scan the headlines. But if I were to read the news or turn on the news, I can tell by the headlines it's about this murder here, that murder there. So you become immune after a while. It's just happening out there. But the moment it happens in your personal family. And so I don't know what triggered this about Cecil, per se, because it was very interesting, other than that it did wake up something inside of people, because there was so much video, and I don't know if you saw some of the videos, but there's Cecil, this beautiful lion, hugging a zebra. I saw him hugging a zebra, and so people were seeing the good, and he was just very, very famous, and so that is it. But our hearts have become hardened, and because it's not happening right here, it's not being paid attention to by some people. But what I do is I scan the headlines, and I see what's happening in the Ukraine, or I see what's happening in Iran, or I see what's happening, and I take this excess beautiful energy that I have that comes through me, and I send love and light to that part of the world. And I talk to the higher selves of every person who is making the rules, and I ask them to make better choices. I shared with you guys the Imagine meditation, and imagine a world free of war. Imagine a world where there is love, love, and more love. And this is what we have to do. But there are people, lots of people, who are gathering together for the first time ever and saying enough. In Paris, when they had the Charlie thing and there was this shooting, over 3 million people gathered in the street and sang Imagine. That's never happened before. And there have been protests like that, but you don't see it unless you look for it.
It's beautiful, Dorothy. You are once again inspiring us to see the goodness in all of us. And in spite of what might be considered as the horrors of life, their amazing heroism heroism. There are amazing feats of kindness and generosity that come through in those parts of the world that we mentioned before. There are doctors that come through, and regular people, and children, and that's really inspiring and beautiful to see.
Looks like the good.
Yeah. You also said that you learned to there is actually a mantra that you are teaching us, and this is I am light. Yes, I am the light.
I am the light. We are all divine children of God, and God is the light, and we are the light. And when we realize that we are the light, and we are the power in our world, and we're the co-creators of this thing called life, then we can become conscious co-creators. Because right now, most of us are just creating from programs that have been passed down from generation to generation to generation. And sitting in front of that TV and watching all of these movies and all of these things. And I used to watch movies. I used to be a big fan of exciting movies. And I can't watch them now because I realized that, yeah, I just can't watch them. It's just too much. And I know that it's all part of programming, that the beings that run things want us to become immune to the horror. But when we become awake, and we can't be immune to it anymore, but look for the good. There is so much good in every country, And I just saw a picture the other day of our soldier who was holding a little girl, and her whole family had been killed, and she had been shot in the head, and this soldier stayed up with her for 4 nights in a row, holding her and talking her back to full consciousness and health. And so it's beautiful when you look for the beauty. And you can Google good news and find good news. And I see more and more young people who are seeing the good and sharing the good and using their brilliance to make this a better world. So be careful what you look at and be careful what you focus on. And yes, the people are rising up, and you're not going to see it on the news. You're not. But if you look, and you look, and you look, you can find that there are protests, and there's good everywhere. There was a protest not so long ago in China, and it was and one in Hong Kong in particular, and they said a couple of thousand people were in the streets blocking traffic. It was millions of people. But someone had a drone and took pictures, and they wanted couple of thousand or a couple of million, and people are saying enough, it's time for change. So we're changing,
and change comes from
within. We cannot change anybody. I was on a radio show the other night, and the gentleman said, we have to change the world, we have to change the world. I said, unless and until we change ourselves, nothing's going to happen out there. We have to choose love over fear. We have to choose relationship over reactionship. Most of us are in reaction to our relatives, which I find very funny. Most of us are in reaction to our neighbors, in reaction to the people we work with, and it's time to learn how to relate. When we start loving ourselves, and when we start becoming the change we want to see out there, that's when it will happen. And each of us is so important. It was very interesting. I read something the other day about why is it that people will say hello to someone if they're walking a dog, but if they're not, people just walk by each other. I always say hello and smile and say, I like your shirt, like your hat, like your glasses. And a lot of people look at me like, what was that? But then they smile, and maybe they'll give a smile to someone else. On the internet right now, there are some of the most beautiful videos about one person doing something nice, and then another person does something nice, and just this whole ripple goes. And this is what we can do to change the world. Change us. Be appreciative of all of it. When something bad happens, ask, what is the gift in this for me? Because there's always a gift. So you take my childhood, and here's, as I started to say, we're at the light. We choose our mothers. We choose our fathers. We write our stories. People think life happens to us, but it doesn't. We write our stories. So why would anyone write the story that I wrote? My story is extremely interesting. After I divorced the same man for the second time, I used sex and alcohol to numb myself out. I just totally was on a self-destructive path, hence those other few times that I died. It was an interesting story. And since I have learned from the past and learned, experience is the only place we can really share from is experience. So when I was called to go to Germany, when I was called to go to South Africa, when I was called to go to England, that's when I discovered how much sexual abuse happens in this world. And people would come to me whose lives were just so completely traumatized. And because I had lived through it and overcome it, I could talk from a place of experience. If I hadn't written those chapters into my life, how could I help? I've helped so many people get off of drugs and alcohol and other self-destructive things because I've been there. I didn't choose drugs, like most people, I chose prescription drugs. And I was on so many prescription drugs, not addicted to prescription drugs, but because I was in a bad, bad place. And my doctor, just every time I went in, he'd write me a new prescription until all of these chemicals were running in my mind. And they carried me out of the house one day in that cute little jacket that ties in the back. I just completely lost my mind. And fortunately, I found it again very quickly, and I fired my doctors and got off of the medications. So we're so powerful, and we are the light. We're divine children of God, and there isn't anything we can't do, be, or have if we focus our intention and put our attention where it will do the most good.
Beautiful. Thank you. Also said, no fear zone. Choose love. Love is our nature, right? Everything is made up of love. We are love. Someone might say, why do we need to change anything about ourselves? We are perfect.
Well, I've been perfectly awful. I truly have. And there was a lot I needed to change about myself. But I love that awful part of me. I wouldn't be who I am without that. So it's just all a wonderful, wonderful ride. There was a great man who walked this earth called Bill Hicks, and he said, life is just a ride. It's like an exciting adventure, and it has its ups and downs, and sometimes it gets scary. But look him up, Bill Hicks, and listen to his talk about life is just a ride, and it truly is. Good versus bad. Everything, when I tell my story, and some people go, oh, how horrible. I wouldn't be me without those choices. I wouldn't be me. And people would not be able to hear me. Had I had the perfect childhood and just was talking from this place of, hey, you can do anything, who could hear me? In 1993, I was fired from my job, and I went into a downward spiral. And every time I just about get well, I'd fall again and have another surgery. I've had 7 knee surgeries. Last time I fell, I tore my shoulder in 3 places. I was crippled. I was in a wheelchair for over 2 years. I couldn't take a step without excruciating pain. Couldn't sit up, couldn't stand up, couldn't lie down. And I died. I went to the light, and the Christ met me, and he said, "Dorothy, Dorothy, Dorothy." And I said, "Oh, you can't make me go back this time." This was the 9th time that I had died. And he said, "You have to go back. Here's your contract." I said, "I've seen that contract before." And I said, "It's time to tear that thing up. I don't want to go back. I'm in so much pain." He said, "You have to go back." And I said, "Then heal me. Heal me." And he said, "Where would the fun be in that?" I was so upset with him. I'm trying to hit him, and he's just standing there laughing at me and laughing with me now, and I can laugh at the whole thing. He said, "I'm going to give you a book, and the book has a message in it that you're going to take around the world, and you're going to use it to heal yourself." And the next thing I know, I'm coming back kicking and screaming, "No!" Out of a bad movie. But I did get a book within 3 days, and it was Dr. Emoto's The Messages from Water. And what Emoto has taught us is that every sound we listen to, everything we look at, every word we speak and read, every thought we think, every prayer we utter is what is creating our reality. And so I changed my words and I changed my thoughts. And instead of saying, "I can't walk, I'll never walk again," I bought the doctor's story. The story was, and if you looked at the x-rays of my knees, you know, I looked at them, I believed them. They said, "We can't even give you artificial knees. It's so messed up. You'll never be out of that wheelchair." Well, you guys saw me walk up and down the stairs and been on my feet. I'm not in any pain. It took a little while, but I changed my thoughts, and I changed my words, and I wrote a prayer, and any of your listeners can email me at loveandmiracles@gmail.com, and I'll send you a copy of this prayer. I changed my thoughts, I changed my words, and I changed my actions. First thing I did was look around and see what I was looking at, and watching the titles of the movies, and I quit watching the news. And the books to the left of me were Stephen King novels and murder mysteries. And I got rid of those and started reading things like, "You can heal your life, the life you were born to live. Your body believes every word you say. Your body's telling you, love yourself." And so within 6 months, I was out of that wheelchair and on a plane to South Africa, and I climbed a mountain. And I have since shown people how to heal themselves. And it's very interesting. It doesn't happen overnight. It took me 6 months, but I did it.
Yes, you said that I cannot heal anyone. You heal yourself, but you show the way for the person to heal themselves. Mm-hmm. It's like you are that accelerator and activator and awakener that helps the person to get to their own healing modality. Mm-hmm. So they can heal. Could you say that? Please,
sure.
Speak up that?
When people call me a teacher of teachers, and what I want to do, and my next business cards, it will say Dorothy Lee Donahue, Reminderer, because I'm just here to remind you of what you already know. Everybody knows what I know. We've just forgotten. But we've all lived lifetime after lifetime. And when we really get quiet and listen, a gentleman asked me today a question, and I said, "Ask yourself. And just start writing. The answer will come right through you." Everyone has access to the same divine information that I do, and it's just remembering to ask. So, a teacher, no, I'm a reminderer. A healer, no, all healing is self-healing. Now, I can help you direct the energies. I can show you how to heal. And I believe I teach energetic alchemy, which is how to channel healing energy. And what we do in energetic alchemy is we move energy through the body and people feel really good. A lot of people want to come and have a private session with me. And most people want the magic wand. I'm going to go and Dorothy's going to heal me. A private session with me is 3 hours. I don't throw somebody on the table. I could throw you on my table and make you feel really, really good because I have thousands of crystals under the table, these magical tools. I could do that. But unless we address the emotional issues, unless we really look at what's going on in your life, you'll walk out the door, float out the door, and feel really good. And then next week you'll go, I'm not doing so well. And that's what most energy healers do. But I'd rather have you for 3 hours. You have to fill out a form, and I ask all kinds of questions. And then I know more. And by the time you fill out that form, you know more about you than you did before you got the questionnaire. And then I can help you look at what needs to be changed.
And you also mentioned you must always ask your heart.
Right, right. The longest journey that any of us take is the one of getting out of our heads into our heart. We're taught the wisdom comes from our mind, and it doesn't. Wisdom comes from the heart. And when we ask our heart, it's just amazing the answers that we will get. It takes a little practice.
Yeah. You teach workshops, and I have taken workshops with you. Alchemy, energy healing,
energetic alchemy,
energetic alchemy, and Reiki. And you said that this coming weekend, August 8th and 9th, you will be co-teaching Scalar Heart Connection. In Malibu?
Right.
Could you please tell us more about it?
Scalar Heart Connection is a modality that this incredible man, Stephen Lindstedt, put together, and it is just divinely orchestrated. You can go to scalarheartconnection.com, and on the right-hand side of the webpage is a little thing that says, Ask Your Heart, and it's free. And you put in your issue, and then you let your heart choose a number as it guides you through. And what happens, this is the easiest way to uncover those blockages and those old programs that we've just pushed down and pushed down and pushed down. And it is amazing. So, like today, we did it downstairs and during the class, and it was just great. And the woman, what came up for her was fear. And she goes, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. And then, and that's what I get from so many people. But when we really look at it and are honest with ourselves, then we can see that it is one of the blockages. And so what I suggested that she do is go home and do the Scalar Heart Connection, and this time put in fear and see what comes up. So Scalar Heart Connection is great. What we'll do is show you what you haven't been looking at, show you an old program, and then it'll give you the positive experience of the other side of that. And so then it embeds with this wonderful tone, this frequency. It will embed the new thought instead of just, oh, fear, you know, and then you go on about your life. It will actually give you a new thought. I love and approve of myself. And the tone will embed that. It's just amazing, absolutely amazing. It's one of the best classes I've ever taken. There's an app for your phone, Android or iPhone. It's Scalar Heart app. And for $1.99, you can just play with it and play with your friends, and you can just uncover one thing after another until you get really, really clear.
Ladies and gentlemen, dear listeners, Lynn and I are sitting here, and in front of us is this beautiful woman, inside and out beautiful. And it's an amazing pleasure to talk with Dorothy. You also mentioned that you do ghost busting, and people can actually hire you, and you can come and bust their ghosts. Could you tell us more?
It's very interesting. My daughter is in the hotel business, and she does what is called task force business. And she travels and stays at different hotels for a short period of time, and I go visit her. One of the most haunted places is the Mission Inn in Riverside, and they're amazing ghosts. Now, not all ghosts want to leave. And some of them have told me, this is my space and I'm staying here. But others are just trapped here because they were brought up in a religion and they believe in heaven and hell. And when I tell them there's only the light, look up, let's let your angels take you home, you'd be surprised how fast they will look up and see the light and go. So I love it. I really love it. I've never had a truly negative experience with a ghost, except one time he was going to leave. And I said, okay. And it didn't leave fast enough. And that was interesting. But I remember the first time as an adult that I met a ghost was in Galveston, Texas, and I was in Jean Lafitte's old headquarters. And I was downstairs, and my husband and my kids were upstairs, and we were treasure hunting. We just knew we were going to find his buried gold. And there was a loose brick in the wall, and I started to pull it out, and this pirate came out of the wall. And he said, leave now. And I said, okay. And I wasn't scared. I just realized that that was his job, and my job was to leave. And before I could get through the fence, my husband and my kids were in the car. As I told them. But it's very, very interesting. At the Thomas Whaley House in San Diego, Thomas Whaley is there, and he's been there, and there have been a lot of paranormal people go in. And I had a long conversation with him, and he just said he likes all of the people coming through, and he's just going to stay there forever. So I said, okay, that's fine.
So that there are ghosts, right? My ex-husband studied at Georgetown University, and he told me that there were spirits that would come and create havoc in his room, dormitory, and move furniture and paintings, pictures, and they were telling him that they are there to burn him. So he and I started dating when he told me this story, and he stayed at my place, and in the middle of the night, he says to me, they're here. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. They're here. I said, who's here? I opened my eyes, and he said, they're here to burn me. I said, well, tell them that you are not afraid and tell them to never come back. I don't know where those words came
from. Good for you. Good for you.
But he said he never had them back.
Right. All you have to say is, I am the light. You don't belong here. And it's really very, very simple. And I remember one home I did in Germany. The woman was trying to sell this multi-million-dollar home. And no one would stay there because there was a ghost. It was the woman who had lived there, and she had died. And so she took my class, and she asked me if I'd come and help her. And I brought one of my students with me, and he had never seen a ghost or experienced anything like that. But I knew that he could. And we came in. Now, this woman had hired priests, and she'd paid lots of money, and they'd come in and taken holy water. But they were coming from a place of fear. They were coming from a place of just craziness. Fear is craziness. And I was coming from this place of love, and I didn't speak German, so I knew she was German. I brought my friend, and I said, wow, can you see her? I could tell that he could. And he said, she's right behind you. And I said, please tell her just to look up, and we're going to call the angels to take her home. And he saw her just go right over my head out to this window in a blinding light. And so we walked into the other room, and there were like four ghosts gathered around this fireplace. And I tried talking to them because I realized that even though we didn't speak the same language, love is universal language. But I was a woman, and they were all men, and they didn't want to hear what I had to say. And so I had my German friend, who was masculine, tell them to go. So it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Amazing.
There's nothing to be afraid of except for fear.
Oh, yes. And fear is love standing upside down.
I love that.
Dorothy, this August 23rd, you will be giving a presentation on Emoto. The Arcturian codes.
Right.
At the Cine Family Theater on Fairfax.
Right, right. I'm very excited about that. It is the Yes Salon by my friend Leo Belove, and it's just an amazing event. And this will be the first time that I've shown the codes on a big screen, and the crystal work of Dr. Emoto, so I'm very excited about it. The water crystals. The water crystals changed my life, and to see them on the big screen and to really get the message from them is just absolutely so empowering. And when we pay attention to our thoughts and pay attention to what it is we're looking at and listening to, our lives will never be the same again.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that.
Yes, me too. I'll be there.
Oh, good. Good.
And then you will have another energetic alchemy class.
Yes, on the 29th and 30th. I'm very excited. What happens there is magical. And it's different. I've had some people take the class 5 or 6 times because one of my gifts this lifetime is I can download people with the latest codes that come from far, far away. And so a lot of people come back. I had one doctor who just kept coming back, but he doesn't participate. He'll just lay on the floor. And people will say, can we help you? Are you okay? Can we help you? And he goes, don't you have any idea what she's doing? Just leave me alone. And he was just taking in the codes. He was really funny. And he'll come back because the codes change all of the time.
Talking about doctors, it's all over the internet nowadays about natural doctors being hit. What is your view of that?
Well, unfortunately, there are beings that don't want us to make progress. And so what I like to focus on is the good that's going on and the fact that people are waking up and seeing truth. And so I focus on the good and I focus on the light. And I bless those beautiful people who have been sacrificed in order for us to wake up. And so let's just wake up and let us look for ways to take our power back. And doctors have a place on this beautiful planet. And it is a beautiful planet. However, listen to your heart and do your research. And before you take any prescription drug, research it and ask your heart if it's right for you. I nearly lost my life because I just took every prescription that they handed me. And I take so many supplements a day, but you saw my pictures before. There's 150 pounds less of me. I used to carry another whole person around on this little tiny frame. And I've done it by paying attention to the water that I drink and the food that I eat and the thoughts that I think.
And you bless them always.
And I bless them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard it from the African spiritual man one day years ago, that if we put our hands over our food for just a moment, just 1 minute of time, that it cleanses that food. So whatever the energy people were cooking it with and whatever the energy of the vegetables, it's going to purify that. So I always bless my food.
We always should, because I've been in some places and I had two beautiful friends. They were both from Thailand, both from the same city. And they both wanted to cook for me all of the time. And one would go chop, 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 anger, you know, went into the food. And it would be the same dish that the other one that was cooked with love. And I'm cooking this so Dorothy will feel better. I'm cooking this to nourish her. The difference between the two, same ingredients, but the difference between the two, because she blessed everything that she did. And the other one's anger went into it. And so I would take the angry one, and I'd have to give it an extra blessing.
Yeah.
The other one was already blessed.
What about the Hippocrates oath that doctors take?
Hippocratic
oaths that doctors take. Doesn't it apply to every doctor that takes this oath? I work as a language interpreter with doctors, and day before yesterday, I was there for an appointment with a gastroenterologist, and the woman couldn't go to the bathroom. She was feeling nauseous. And he says, so don't you take that laxative medication I gave you? She says, I do religiously. And he says, well, double it. If you took just your pills in the morning, now take it at night as well. And when we had a little break with her, I said, there is this amazing tea by traditional medicinals, and you can buy it in every supermarket, called Smooth Move, and it's made of all the herbs. Try that.
Good for you.
But I have to be careful because I don't want to interfere.
You know, doctors are just doing what they've been taught. But there are some wonderful doctors out there. Really wonderful doctors out there. And unfortunately, for some of those who come out and speak up and out, they're no longer with us. But you can find a good doctor, and you can be your own best doctor.
Yeah.
But question everything. Sometimes 3 or 4 times.
We did an amazing meditation with you. Imagine, where can people listen and meditate with it?
It's on my website, dorothydonahue.com. I think it's on the front page. But if you just want to look it up, it's called Imagine. And if you just Google Imagine and the name Filippo, Filippo, you'll see this YouTube meditation pop up. It's absolutely amazing. Filippo has one of his many great gifts. He's a healer, but he's also a singer, and he has just the greatest voice, and his voice is a healing instrument. And I was lucky enough to have him record my meditation, Imagine. And it is life-changing. You will find the Arcturian codes, which are just amazing, amazing gifts to us. And watching it once a day will change your life.
And I know you also travel around the world and teach courses, and people love you in Europe, Germany, many places. Do you do distant healing?
Yes.
This is for our listeners to know?
Yes, I do distant all the time. I do distant healing. I have clients all over the world. And I do Skype sessions, and everything is energy, and there is no time and there is no space. That's something that we have programmed ourselves to believe. But it doesn't matter where you are. And that's one of the things I teach in my energetic alchemy, is how to do distance healing. Anybody can do it. It's wonderful. I have clients all over the world, and I like being able to help them.
There's only one rule, ladies and gentlemen. When you come to Dorothy for healing, you can bring all your stuff, but you're going to take it with you.
That's right. It's transformed into love.
Magic happens, and she's the transformer. could you tell the listeners once again your email so they could contact you if needed?
Sure. It's Love and Miracles, and that's LoveAndMiracles@gmail.com.
Dorothy, I want to thank you so much for being with us today with our meeting and now with our interview so we can share you with the rest of the world. I was sitting here spellbound just listening, and I want to thank Raisa for doing such a great job. I just let her take it. So come and see us again. We love you.
Thank you. I love you. And like I said, it was so great to look at this group of people who have open minds. And it was so awesome to share with them. Thank you so much for having me.
Dear listeners, and this is prepareforchange.net.
And we will see you again next week for another installment of Prepare for Change.
And if you're traveling or if you are sitting down and you're listening to us, well, tune in next time. We love you, Dorothy.
And I love you.
And it's just so amazing. And we are so grateful that you were able to be with us and we can share you with the rest of the world.
Thank you so much.